New medium, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
Hello, people of tomorrow. Welcome back to the Tomorrow Show. I am not Kevin Undergaro because I am Roxy Stryer. And when you are Roxy, you therefore cannot be Kevin. Transitive property? Math. Something like that. Kevin is on a not-so-secret adventure right now to the East Coast, and he's being surrounded by tons of his fans, which we will talk about a little later, that we have seen on Maria Menounos' Instagram story. And to my right tonight, sitting in the seat that usually I'm keeping warm.
Yes.
Christy Report.
I don't know if I do it justice. I'm going to try.
Oh, come on. Aww. You do the bar perfect justice, baby.
More on that some other time.
Don't you think that's why Kevin originally put me there? He's like, yeah, Roxy's got to be the bartender.
She belongs behind the bar.
Yeah. I was behind the bar for 8 years.
Me too.
A really long time. I feel very comfortable behind the bar. And actually in front of the bar, on top of the bar, under the bar. Feel comfortable.
Pouring alcohol into people's mouths at the bar.
Being the person with the alcohol getting poured into their mouth.
Yes.
At the bar. All
so
of the
many
places.
Things to do at the bar.
How did you know? In the booth, our still virgin question mark, Michael Klaus.
Still virgin answer. Exclamation points.
Interesting. Any close encounters this week?
Ooh, maybe had a little bit of a fling this weekend, but did not go as far as losing that card.
Really? You went camping. I feel like the best part of camping is having sex.
Well, the best part of camping is finding someone to
cuddle up with.
You know, camp with.
Do you not know about s'mores?
Yeah, that's
cuddling.
True. I love s'mores. S'mores lead to sex. Everybody knows that.
I thought s'mores was literally like a sex term that I didn't know about.
No, marshmallows and chocolate.
S'mores.
Yeah. Bonjour, Juliette.
Hey, Roxy.
Bonjour. You had quite the past week with your rent in town. We're going to talk about that a little later.
Nice little visit.
You're still alive, though. That means that the trip couldn't have gone too wrong.
I am still here.
And glad to have you. We're also going to talk about a couple of different things that happened in my week, including making new friends as an adult. Because who knew
Yay.
It was just that frickin' hard? but I've made some, and I'm excited to tell you guys about them. Also, we're going to talk about my feet. Didn't know we were ever going to do a segment on
Yay.
That.
Ow, ow!
Yep. The time has come where we have to talk about my feet. And something huge is happening with my feet, so you guys don't want to go anywhere before we talk about that. And then Michael's favorite part of the show, where I admit to reading a Christian self-help book.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Don't even understand how that one happened. Actually, I do. And I'm going to tell you guys all about that. And then we've got some crazy news this week. And I feel like it's a good week for me to be sitting in this chair because it's probably only me who thinks this kind of stuff is crazy when it comes to the Oscars and Guardians drama and that Mighty Ducks situation we
Aww.
Have going on. Yeah, so I know.
So
brace
sad.
Yourself. We will get there. But before any of that news, let's go back for a second here and talk a little bit about making new friends as adults. I feel like anytime I talk about that, we have to sing the make new friends. What's that song called?
But keep the golden old song.
The golden song.
Yeah,
golden.
One is silver, and the other is.
There's a name for it, though, right? The golden song. Bonjour. Did you have that song?
No, I did not. You're talking about the Golden Girls.
No.
I think you're thinking of the Golden Rule.
Oh,
I don't think the song has a title.
Every song has a title.
Well, what does the YouTube
video
say,
Michael?
So this has this Girl Scout song?
Oh, I was a Girl Scout, so probably that's how I did learn this back in the day. Bonjour, you've never heard this expression? Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, but the other's gold?
Not that I can remember of.
France doesn't do all this fruity stuff that we do. Am I not allowed to use that word anymore?
Wait, here's the thing, though.
Here anything goes.
Silver and gold. Gold is clearly better than silver. Is that not being talked about in this?
Well, I mean, you still rank your friends. You can like them all, but some are better than others, yes?
I mean, technically it should be one is white gold and the other is rose gold, if we wanted to kind of be even there.
Okay, okay.
It's just not quite as catchy. So I'm okay. Honestly, somebody told me I was their silver friend. I would be okay with that. I need more silver friends in my life. I have too many gold level friends. And gold level friends bring you as bridesmaids to their wedding. And silver level friends don't. So
and silver's so sexy.
Fine.
I feel like that sounds that you sound like a silver friend, you know? Shiny, not by the norm. I don't be a silver friend. I'm the only one who sees this? No?
No, okay. I kind of dig it. But none of that is relevant to the fact that I have actually made new friends. And it is blowing my mind and also every one of my friends' minds that I, all of a sudden, as a 27-year-old adult, have a new, brand new group of friends.
It's, a whole new clique?
And that's kind of what it is. They are a clique and they've adopted me into the clique. And it's a bunch of 40-year-old British guys. And they have just like taken me under their wing.
Was not expecting that.
And put me in their clique. And now I'm part of the group. And every weekend I go out with them Friday and Saturday. And during the week we grab dinners and we go to the movies. And they're just like a bunch of beer drinking, older, artsy British dudes. And they're now my close friends.
Dudes or boys with a Z?
What's with a Z?
West Hollywood boys with a Z.
Oh, no, dudes. They're straight.
They are?
Yeah, they're straight. They're straight British dudes.
Are they single?
I didn't know that gay people were boys with a Z.
I need more
lingo in my life.
Aren't you West Hollywood adjacent?
Yes, they're. No, one of them has a fiance. One of them has a girlfriend. One of them is single. But like totally a fuck boy. And I don't know if girls know he's single, but he is single. And another one of them is very, very single also, but they're just like this crew that sometimes they live in Los Angeles. Sometimes they live overseas and they just wanted to be my friend. And I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop because I'm like, I haven't made a new friend in so many years. It's been so long since somebody wanted to be my friend that I didn't go to high school or college with or meet because of AfterBuzz, because of you guys. Like, if I'm not with you, if we don't work together, how on earth do you start a friendship? And so I just keep thinking, like, what do they possibly want? Like, what am I bringing to the table? Why do they want to be my friend? I know that's such a weird question, but you have to kind of ask yourself that as an adult.
You mean besides incredible good looks and a great personality?
But none of them are trying to hook up with me.
Okay, but let's start at the beginning. So how did you become friends with them?
I became friends with them because one of the people in the clique is a director and a writer. And I don't know if you remember this. Bonjour, Michael. You probably do. From about a year and a half ago when I had that audition for a movie and we stayed late and we practiced the audition and the lines and we ran it over and over on the iPad and all that stuff. And that when I booked that movie, he had written the movie. And so he was a writer and we kind of like exchanged business messages a couple of times, like about the shoot and all that. Then he went back to England and we really didn't speak much. And then I don't know, through liking each other's Instagram posts and social media and all that stuff, after a few months, we kind of got back in touch. He let me know that he was coming back to the States. And then we saw each other then he left again. And then this time when he came back, we like really made an effort to start seeing each other. And he had a group of friends here now. And now I'm getting lunch with those people and not just him. And it's so bizarre. Like, I don't know if this is resonating with anybody at home, because to me, just I thought I had capped out. Like, I remember 2 years ago, I made an announcement out loud that I said, I'm done with friends. I don't need any more. I have enough.
You were done adding friends.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with new friends.
Yes.
I don't need more.
No new friends. No new friends.
Right.
No
new friends. Legitimately my theme song. And I didn't mean this to happen, but I'm kind of okay with it because they're fabulous and fun, and I'm getting legitimately shit-faced all of the time, and I feel like I'm going back to my, like, young, fun ways because – we're getting to know each other. It's kind of like dating people at first.
Yeah.
Where you're getting to know each other and you guys are getting drunk all the time and like hanging out late and talking about like your growing up and your aspirations and all this stuff that I don't talk to my actual friends about. None of my real friends ask me like, what are your dreams? And like, what happened to you as a kid? Or none of my friends ask me that shit.
Because that is a new friend though. Thing, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of loving it.
Are your friends not asking you that just because they know the story?
I guess maybe. Or because like we've been, most of my friends have been friends with for so long. It's like, you don't really talk about anything anymore. You kind of just sit with each other and not, and you don't really talk about anything.
That's true.
You just talk about stupid.
Talk about your other friends.
You bitch about stuff is what you right. do. Like you bitch about your, or even if you're not bitching and you're saying good things, it's not anything that matters. It's like, oh yeah, do you see Kylie Jenner? Oh yeah, whatever it is about her lips or anything. Like you just talk about stupid things. You don't talk about meaningful things anymore. Like, do you believe in God? What is the meaning of life? Like all of the stuff that, I don't know, that you just start talking about at the beginning of friendships.
So are you getting a lot out of these conversations?
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden and maybe it's because I'm drinking again and that's been, like I'm saying, just a blast and I missed my drinking ways and I think I'm going to go back to alcoholism because God, is it more fun? Sorry, I didn't mean to use your Lord's name in vain there. Just,
hey,
gosh.
Roxy, it's our name. Our Lord's name in vain.
Right, and that wasn't in vain.
We'll talk about
that praise.
Soon.
Oh, it was in praise. Oh, so I'm allowed to use it then?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. The Jews agree with that one. So I don't know. It's just been so weird for me having these new people to hang out with that want to know about my life, that are all about me, that reach out to me. I don't have to reach out to them as a grown woman. And I'm kind of excited now because I think I'm on a journey to making more new friends. Like, I think this should be, instead of going on dating apps, I think I'm going to do like the friendship searching thing.
They have apps for that.
I know. And you can go hiking with a new person or you could go, there's all different stuff like that, which is kind of cool.
It's super cool. And I feel like you're making me excited because I'm like, me and Roxy's lives aren't that different and people want to be friends with her. I'm like, maybe people want to be friends with me. And 100%. I
think so? You're never too old to make a new friend. Like, I'm just so excited about it. Like, all of my new friends, I'm going to show them off. And I get to show them cool things too. Like, they think it's cool that I get invited to these movie screenings. So I bring them to the screenings and they're like, oh, Rox, you're so cool. And I'm like, maybe I am cool. Maybe I am. And none of my other friends, none of you guys care about that. You guys all are
the
same thing.
We all do the same cool
stuff.
So
now that you have new friends, we're bashing the old friends?
No, I love, make new friends, but keep the old.
We
are some
still
are silver
gold.
And the others are gold. Let's be honest. No, I love that. I'm sure the excitement will wear off, but you guys all get invited to movie screenings yourself. You guys all do the same thing I do. So I have nothing to bring to the table to you because you guys all can do the same stuff that I can do. Like if I go to
I feel
junk
like I'm getting
it.
Bullied.
And do you feel like Christy's the bystander?
Which yeah,
we all know
for sure.
Worse than a bully?
Yeah. Yes.
Zipping my lips.
Maybe. No, it's Anything. Not that. You guys are amazing. But it's just the new shiny penny in the box, in the batch of pennies. And I'm very, very excited about it. So just want to tell you guys about my new friends who are all awesome, British, older, and make me feel like $1 million. Probably has nothing to do with the fact that I'm in a struggling relationship and need to find attention elsewhere.
That was going to be my next question. Is this a limbo boyfriend of yours friends as well? Are we sharing these friends with him?
I'm trying really hard not to share the friends
with
him.
Why is that?
So anybody at home who doesn't know, I have a limbo man, which is code for somebody who breaks up with you and then wants you back and you're still trying. So that's what we call my limbo man. And
just trying not to roll my eyes.
I don't want to share my friends with him. He wants to be friends with them. And I've brought him out a couple of times. But one of the main problems in our relationship was the fact that he felt like I was not independent enough. Like, he felt like if he wanted to go do something on a Friday night, that it would be mean to leave me home alone. And
that's not on you. That's on him.
Wait,
and you are
you
one of the most independent. Right?
I think you're like one of the most independent girls that I know.
We're baffled.
1,000%. But just because you guys know that doesn't mean that I was showing that. And it's true about me, but I was coming home every Friday night without even speaking to him, and we were expecting to hang out. Like, that was the expectation. Friday night and Saturday night, if we weren't working, we were seeing each other. And because we work all the other nights, he was not seeing his friends. And frankly, I really wasn't seeing my friends that much. So one of the things that I told myself was, whether we work this out or not, whether we get back together or not, I really need to make a life for myself that has jack shit to do with him. Mm-hmm. Because he can be part of my world, but he can't be my whole world. And right now, he really is. And I'm not doing all the things that I want to be doing. So with this new group of friends, if I bring him into the group of friends, then it's not my own thing. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. I'm not trying to hide him from them. Like I said, at Comic-Con, they were out. He came out. We all hung out. There's been a couple of other times.
They still like you better?
Duh. I don't know if that's actually true. They really like him a lot also. But I've made it very clear to them that they are my friends. And I've never been possessive over friends before. But all of a sudden, I get why people get weird about their friendships. Mm-hmm. Because if he infiltrates that, then there's not that same connection.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell your limbo boyfriend that those are your friends, or did you tell your friends those are your friends?
I told both. I told both. I told my limbo man.
Both.
So my limbo man and I got in a fight this week because it wasn't even a big fight, but the guy that is the writer who I'm closest with is going back to England in a week, and I'm heartbroken over it because he is the glue of the friends. And I'm like, I've got to find a way to stay friends with them all while he's gone. And it's going to be so much harder, but I'm going to do it. So I'm gut-wrenched. And so since he's leaving in a week, we have a week full of activities. We've got like a goodbye week send-off. And I was like, okay, so I have to, just so you know, I'm seeing him on Thursday. We're going to Magic Castle. And on Saturday, he got us tickets to this. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to this with him. And then Wednesday morning, I'm saying goodbye. And Ben's like, well, when am I going to see you? I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. I was just out of town for 2 weeks. How are we going to hang out? And I was like, well, we'll hang out after he leaves. And he was like, well, so I can't.
I love that.
He was like, I can't come to these things. And I was like, maybe one of them, but I'm not going to just bring you to all of them because then I can't hang out with my friends.
He's not part of the friend group.
He's not part. You can't sit with us.
Exactly.
He's not part of the friend group. And he's welcome to have them be acquaintances. And if there's an actual thing that makes sense for him to come to. But by the way, Magic Castle is incredibly hard to get into. I'm not just going to tell my group of friends, can my limbo man, and they all know what's going on, can my limbo man come with me?
I was actually wondering, because you skipped over, you like said that, and I was like, whoa, you said that like you've been several times. That is not easy to get into.
Oh, Magic Castle?
Yeah.
I was like, get into which part of it? Which story? Yeah, it's really challenging for anybody who doesn't live in LA. Magic Castle is essentially that. It's a castle in which they do magic inside. And you go and you have dinner and you watch these musicians. And it's very exclusive and you have to really dress up. And
it's invite only, right?
And it's invite only and it's members only. And this crew they're not Hollywood in terms of, like, they still go out in sneakers and drink beers and stuff like that, but they're very...
Yeah, but the Brits are magicians.
Yeah, and they're very tied in, and so he already has gone twice since he's been here, and I said to him, oh my God, I'm dying to go. So he surprised me and was like, I'm taking you on Thursday. I wasn't going to be like, and Ben? That's weird, right?
Sometimes, right, because they'd be like, who's Ben? Do you mean Limbo
Man? Limbo Man, yeah, good clarification on that one. So, yeah, I'm very sad that he's leaving, and I try to shield him from Ben, or Limbo Man, as we call him. And those are my new friends.
Because they're new friends, and you're saying you're having all these crazy conversations with them, how much have you opened up about your Limbo boyfriend?
They all kind of know, and they all have different opinions on it. But what I like is that none of them actually give a crap.
That's good.
Because all of my friends right now have such strong opinions that they either can't be in the same room as him or are dying to be in the same room as him so they can talk to him or anything. And these guys are like, oh, relationships have problems all the time. Do what you want to do. You're a kid. Mm-hmm. And they look at me like I'm really young, which, by the way, recently before them, I'd been hanging out with a lot of bonjours, and I feel old as shit. So being with older people who are like, you're young, you've got time, no worries, every relationship has issues, he's fine for doing what he did, you're fine for being in it still, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel really safe and good.
That's good.
And another plus to kind of keeping him away from them is that they don't get too involved and they don't get attached to him, and you can maybe get even better perspective from them than you would from like some of us.
100% in terms of they have zero stakes in this game.
Mm-hmm. Did I miss? Are they single? Are they in relationships?
So you did miss it, Michael, but that's okay. Maybe some of our people at home did as well. One's engaged, one is in a relationship, one is in many relationships, and the other is very, very single.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their shit. Exactly.
Everybody got their shit.
As they were saying.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, I know you're so happy about this friendship and it seems like a lot of fun. My question was, are you allowed to really have an opinion on someone's relationship when you don't know them that well? They're new friends, you know? Is that weird territory?
I don't think so. I don't think you're allowed to have, I don't think people should have opinions on anybody's relationship unless they're getting abused. Or something's really horrible. Yeah.
Right. And people shouldn't bring others into their relationship if they don't want the opinions and stuff. Then don't complain. Then don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
You need to vent every once in a while.
I've had to learn that the hard way. Mm-hmm. Really, you shouldn't. If you are having issues with somebody and you guys are serious and you're trying to work on things, you should keep it in-house is the thing that I've learned. And I preferably with this would have kept it in house. However, my limbo man made the very educated, brilliant decision to tell everybody that we worked with the next day. So that was taken out of my hands. But I think that it's so much harder because on top of being heartbroken and trying to work with that, you're also mortified and embarrassed and having to work with that when everybody knows. So as long as you guys are keeping things relatively in-house. I mean, maybe if you tell one or two people that you really trust to advise you, but like once the floodgates open, it's so, so challenging to work on the actual issues because you're dealing with everything surrounding those issues. Mm-hmm. It's taken us, Ben broke up with me in February and it's taken us.
Wait, that was February?
Yeah, that was February. Wow. And it's taken us until August to finally start dealing with the issues and not the situation, which was crap, what do we do? Everybody knows. What do we do with our apartment? What do? We told our landlord, we were told our parents, we told our friends, we told our bosses. Like all of that took months, and now we're actually cutting through the fat to deal with what about our relationship? There were still problems there. What do we do there? So it's so much harder once you open those gates. And I understand the wantingness to do that, because when you're really sad, you want to talk to people about it, but try to not, because
is it hard being in the same room with certain friends now that you know everybody's real opinion?
Oh my God, it's really, really hard. I don't blame any of my friends for any of their feelings because I get it comes out of a place of love, but exactly. I have one friend that called me and said, just so you know, I will never, and this is a friend whose wedding I was in, she said, just so you know, I'll never be okay with him. Don't ever put me in the same room as him again. And if you guys do get back together, don't call me.
What?
Yeah.
See, the floodgates can go both ways on that because that can never be unsaid.
Yeah, ever.
I think that's another important lesson of like, watch what you say as well back because it's out there.
Yeah. So that is that's a reality of mine that I will have to deal with if I ever have to deal with that. And if I don't have to deal with it in this specific situation, at some point or another, I'll have to deal with it in general because you can't be a friend like that. It's just not a good way to friendship.
Does that friend have a history of making it about her when you're going through stuff?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Interesting. So what about the idea that maybe you could stand to lose a friend like that?
Maybe silver, maybe not gold.
Ah, she's copper.
Full circle. I love it.
Full circle. You know what else is at the bottom of the circle?
What a weird transition.
I know. It's like, I wish you had Jeopardy music.
Ding, 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 ding. What is the answer?
My feet. My feet are at the bottom of the
circle.
Yes,
ding, ding. Yeah. Finally.
Up on the table with my feet. These
Undergar's definitely not here tonight.
Yeah, letting our feet hang out. Why are we talking about my feet tonight? You might be at home wondering. Why is this
or at the bar wondering?
Yeah, wherever you are. You're thinking, huh, why did I stick around the Tomorrow Show to hear about Roxy's feet? And I would actually throw this question back at you, society. Why are we talking about my feet? Why is this something that I can't get rid of? So here's how it started, and I'll bring you guys in on what my life looks like these days. It started about a year and a half ago when my brother, who has a Google alert set to my name, anytime Roxy Stryer comes up on Google, he gets an alert, texted me saying, "What's Wiki Feet?" And I said, "I don't know, Jet. What is Wiki Feet?" And he said, "You tell me. You're all over it." So I typed in Wiki Feet Roxy Stryer. And at that time, there were four pictures of me, of my feet. There were four pictures of my feet from Instagram. It's not just my feet. It's my body, my face. It's a picture of me that happened to have my feet in it. And you know that this was posted a long time ago because it's actually a picture of me, my feet, and my ex-boyfriend. That is the first one. So it started with that. And I was like, oh, this is a weird little thing.
This is so strange.
It's so weird. Like, this is a weird little thing that's happening here. Okay, I don't know. So then it kind of went away for a while. And then I went on Jim and Sam's show on Sirius XM. This was probably about, I don't know, 8 months ago or something. And they started asking me about fetishes. And they asked me if I had a foot fetish. And I said, no, but you know what's funny is that all of my friends growing up hated feet. And I never hated feet. I always kind of liked feet. I didn't.
That's all it took.
I didn't mean I love feet. Please, can I clear the record for a second? If somebody tries to put a toe inside of me,
oh,
I'm going to bite it off.
Wait, clarify, okay. Inside of you.
I mean inside of my vagina, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to bite it off. Don't put your toes in my frickin' vag or my booty. That's gross. Because that's what
I never even knew that was a thing. I've never thought about that.
It's a foot fetish. So don't do that. To clarify further, something I do like, which is weird and kinky and kind of gross.
Drum roll, please.
I like if somebody sucks a toe of mine. And I said that on Jim and Sam's
show. Oh, that's you just took a dive.
Only during sex. And like, if it's like you're drunk and it's sexy and like, I said it and I can't take it back, so I'm saying it again. I like that. I like it. I never knew that it was as weird as it was, but whatever. So then the tweets started coming in about my toes and my feet. And somehow that has spiraled from that point to this point where now I have an entire Wiki Feet page with Michael. How many pictures would you say are there?
Oh, we're dozens.
Yeah, we're at dozens of pictures.
They've gone to your videos and screenshot it.
They go to my YouTube videos. They screenshot ones that have my feet. So now in my YouTube videos, I have to crop my feet out of the video in order to post it so that it doesn't get put on there.
Boo.
They go to my Instagram story. They screenshot my story, anything with my feet, anything from my IG, anything on my Twitter that has my feet in it, they post on here. And then I get hundreds of messages about my feet. Show me your feet. Send me pics of your feet. And so the other day, I did an AMA on Instagram and Ask Me Anything where people writing questions. And I could barely get to the questions people were asking because there were hundreds of people just writing questions about my feet. What shoe size are you? How long do you wear your socks for? What is the thing that you think make your feet look most fire? How many toes have you had in your mouth at one time?
Ew.
Like, which, by the way, is none. I've never had any toes in my mouth.
Oh, okay. That's how.
I like it the other way. But it's not that I wouldn't, because whatever. If somebody needed that, you know, to get their rocks off, then that's what you need. I don't hate feet, but I don't love them. Just so many questions about feet. And I'm so I'm here to address it. I don't have a foot fetish. Sometimes I like if somebody sucks on my toe. I think it's incredibly weird that I'm getting these messages about people wanting to see more pictures of my feet. I don't know how somebody could sit home and whack off to that. But if it floats your boat, man, I have a Wiki Feet page. and you can find my feet there. I will not be sending my personal DM'd feet to anybody at any point, ever.
For a price?
Never. Because once you open that gate, okay, wait.
I mean, you could probably say this. That's like a real thing. Okay, I didn't know that toe fetish goes this far. I thought it ended with the toe sucking. But now that I know this, it reminds me of what they did in Orange is the New Black, where they wore the panties and then they sold them to the people who wanted the worn panties.
So I actually heard this yesterday about, it was a WWE superstar. They didn't tell me which one. What are we looking at?
Right? Oh, no!
Oh my God! You guys!
Oh, you poor thing, honey. Oh, no! It's all downhill from here.
You're famous.
Oh my
Christy
God.
Has a wiki feet. Christy reports herself.
Oh, this is horrifying. Although those are all pretty good pictures of me, but
wait till they start taking the screenshots.
Oh my gosh. What are my parents going to say?
So it's that 1 second of flattery, right? Like, wow, I have a wiki feet. And then it's the millions of seconds that follow that are, what the fuck is wrong with people that this website exists?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I was going to say like, oh, this actually seems like a great way to build your following and like get some fans and make a big deal out of yourself. And now that I'm on it, I can't.
Now you're going to think twice about the next time you post a picture with your feet in them.
I absolutely will.
And you're going to crop that shit.
Or embrace it.
Why are we going to crop this?
So speaking of embracing it, there was a friend of mine just told me that they were really close with a WWE superstar. They didn't name their name, so I cannot name their name. But it was a female who was making hundreds of thousands of dollars from giving her worn socks, sending her worn socks to people.
Oh, yeah. Once she's worn the ring, and I bet you can charge more for like a pay-per-view sock.
Sweaty
or mania.
Socks. Yeah. Sweaty socks.
So, performance.
Socks. Performance socks. Yeah.
Oh, I would die to know who that was.
Like one week socks.
I wonder if it's someone current.
I don't know. I could try to do some digging.
Yeah.
I'll try to do some digging.
I've heard that in certain countries, they have vending machines where you can buy the used panties.
What?
Michael, is that something that Jesus would be okay with it? With?
Clearly, yeah. Smelling is okay. You know, that's where the line is.
I'm gonna make a really gross comment here. I don't want anybody smelling my panties after I've worn them for an hour. Those are very close to my insides. There are things that happen down there that you don't want. Like, it's not a candle. You don't want people smelling them.
It's not a candle.
It's not. Like, I don't have, like, a particularly smelly vag. I'm just saying any woman. Like, it's not like you take it off and it's like, smells like roses. I mean, it's not sexy. Like, I don't get that. I don't understand why a guy would want that. Now, take that to the next level, because at least that's something that's touched your vagina. And it's like, okay, maybe some people just want to be close to your vagina. Your feet, your socks. I think that's even weirder. Like, that's got to be weirder, because now you just want something that's sweaty, that's touched my toes.
But again, no part of you considering doing this, selling the socks, any of that.
If it was at the point where I would be making hundreds of thousands of dollars, I would already be making millions of dollars.
Oh, that's
so
true.
I don't feel like I would care. Right now, if I was to send people my socks, I feel like they would send me $5.
Did you put it as part of your Patreon?
Honestly, I've gotten a couple of DMs about asking me that. I would put it as a tier. I have a Patreon, guys, now.
Yes.
I have all different tiers where you can get like wraps and different things. And people have asked if I would make one of those tiers a foot tier. Legitimate question from two people. Will you make one of those tiers? You will send us monthly feet pics. My answer was no. It has to be no. You can't be that girl where one of your tears is, I'll send you pictures of my feet.
What if it was for charity?
Ooh, good question.
Give me a scenario in which that's the case.
Like kids who need prosthetic feet, or something that seems more sensitive to say out loud on a show. And the money to your feet pictures were going to go towards the children getting the prosthetic feet that they need to walk.
Fine. I'll do it.
There you go, people.
I'll do it if it's for charity. Try to convince me that my feet are going to charity and I'm in.
You know what I think our captain would say? He'd turn this into a business. We have something here. Clearly, there's a following. If things make you uncomfortable, we're not going to go there. But there is feet modeling. I could even think of someone, you know,
but
who could take pictures with socks.
I don't have particularly cute feet. They're fine feet, but I couldn't be a foot model.
But
you have
they
to have
enjoy
high
it.
Arches and
you
pretty.
Clearly have fans. Why sell yourself short? Say you can't be a foot model.
That's a great question, Bonjour. I don't know. I really don't know. Oh God. I've gone down the foot rabbit hole.
Well, I'm seeing now that you can vote. So you actually have 61 votes on here, Roxy.
Wow.
5 stars. Congratulations.
Oh, 5 star feet. Wow.
34 say beautiful. 14 are nice.
What
I
happens
mean,
after
five
that?
5 star feet. Well, there's four. Okay, bad, and ugly. 4 people say you have ugly feet, but.
They're just haters.
Haters.
That's
they
not
are
a lot.
Haters. They have hairy feet, okay?
That's not that jealous.
Many, that's not that many votes. I only have 60-something votes.
Maria has
2,500. Why am I getting all these messages?
She has 2,500 votes?
She has 2,500 votes.
Oh, those pictures are from today.
Yes. People update this ish like crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
She has 1,800 beautiful votes.
Congratulations, MM.
That is so good for her.
Is this strictly a female site, by the way?
I don't know. Type in Kevin, see what happens. Kevin Undergaro feet?
There's no Kevin.
No, sir.
There's no Juliet or Michael either.
Type in like Leonardo DiCaprio. That's how we'll know if it's a female-only site.
Leo.
Yeah. I wonder what his feet look like.
No Leo.
See, now actually, I'm somebody who's asking out loud what Leonardo DiCaprio's feet look like. I feel like I've gone way too far.
See? They're trying to recruit us all with this madness.
I think it is female.
It might be working.
I think it is female because I typed in like the first couple letters and only names that are coming up are female.
Interesting. So I guess maybe girls
do you feel
don't
discriminated
like
against, Michael? Like, do you wish that you were on here?
Yeah, even like George. I'm trying to find like George Clooney. No, nothing. Huh? George Clooney. Guess you just got to go to Google Images for that.
We have to move on from the feet. I can't stay here any longer. This is my real life these days. Also, what is my real life these days is saying yes to anything anybody tells me will help. Anytime I have a friend, a family member, a coworker, a whatever that says to me, this is the answer or this will help something, I say, fuck it, why not? Or as Kevin phrases it, whatever moves the needle. So I had a friend, you guys know her, our very own Kathy Kelly, who I was talking to over at Comic-Con about my limbo man and things going on. And she told me, I read this great book once that a couple of my friends have read, and it's really helped their relationships, and it's actually saved one of my friends' marriages. It's called How We Love, and you have to read it, even if it's not about your love life. There's just so many things in there that are brilliant tidbits, and seriously, Rox, you have to read this book. And if somebody like Kathy is telling me, who knows me pretty well, you have to read this.
Yeah, is there something about like love language in this book?
No, it's not the 5 languages of love.
Okay, because I was going to say, I feel like I heard her telling someone else about this book another time. I'm like, is Kathy working for the publisher?
Maybe. I know what you're talking about, but it's not that. It's not like acts of kindness or whatever that love language thing is, which is still legit, but that's not this. So by Milan and Kay, they are a husband and wife, Yurkovich. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to do this. Kathy recommended it. What do I have to lose? I'm going to get it on audio. So I listened to it like a podcast, basically. And it was $20. And while I'm driving, I've been listening to it. It's 14 hours long. So I am on my journey. I'm on hour 4 right now. So I will tell you guys, I've not finished it. I just started it 3 days ago. So I've been plugging along. It didn't take me very long, aka the first 2 sentences, to realize, holy shit, I'm listening to a Christian self-help book.
This holy shit.
Like, what is this little Jew doing? So this book is by 2 incredibly religious people. This couple is very religious. I've now looked them up and now have learned that this is like a renowned couple in the Christian faith. They are, they speak at different Christian events. Their book is on all different Christian websites and whatnot.
I'm kind of annoyed with them already.
It's not ideal for somebody who has a charge against Christianity slash religion in general. But I was like, Rox, she recommended it for a reason. She knows you're Jewish. She knows you don't believe in God and you're not religious. There's got to be valuable things in here. See if you can get to that part. I'm having a really hard time with it. I'll tell you guys out loud right now. It's so hard when you so don't believe in something to cut out what I consider to be the noise and get to the legitimate helpful parts. Mm-hmm. Because I'll be in it and I'll be interested in something. And they'll be telling me something fascinating. I'm like, wow, that could really help. And they'll be like, and then God came down and gave Karen the sign. And I'm like, motherfucker, why is he always ruining everything for me? So that's been challenging. But there have been really valuable things in there. And it's kind of taught me, like, all right, even though I don't believe in some parts of some things, that doesn't mean that there's no value to other lessons that are simultaneously being taught with faith.
That's so mature, Roxy.
I guess. It's been really weird. It's been really weird. I'm learning all about trust, guys.
Have you evolved as a person or something?
I don't know. It kind of feels that way. I also really, the book asks you to look at yourself and like ask yourself what's wrong with you.
Scary.
Which is really scary and really horrifying. Like, why aren't you good at being in a relationship or why aren't you good at loving?
But you're pretty honest, I think, with yourself and everyone about who you are and your
I think
good
so.
Qualities and your bad qualities, right?
I think so. But it's really hard when you have just been dumped. You're like trying to have all the confidence in the world and you have to ask yourself, but why do I fuck up? Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to do that. So I do recommend this book, even though it is a Christian. Did I say Christian?
Say it again, sister. Say it again.
Book. And even for friendships, there's this one part that I thought was really interesting that I was talking about what is trust. And I'd never heard trust defined this way. And I thought this was really, really wild. So it says that trust is when something happens over and over again, period. That's what trust is. And then it gives the example. What happens after the light, you're at a red light or whatever. You're at the, what's the actual light called? The three things.
Stop
you're
light.
At a stoplight.
Stoplight.
Yeah. You're at a stoplight and it's yellow. What happens next? It turns red.
Right.
You trust that it turns red because it's happened over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's what trust is. When something's happened over and over again.
I was going to say you floor it, but yes, it turns red.
It turns red. And that is what trust is. Something's happened enough times that you believe that it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Which I've blew my mind because I've always thought that it's people. You know, anytime
that it's more complicated.
It's more complicated than that, but also anytime that you meet somebody new and you guys are working on a business deal or a friendship or anything, and you're wondering to yourself, why is it so hard to trust this person? You know, is it something about them? Is it something about me? Is it from my childhood? Is it from my life? And it's like, it just nothing's happened enough times to show you that you should trust that situation. And I think that's normal because I always question myself, like, should I just trust am I being petty? Am I being small? Am I being too nervous? But no, it hasn't happened enough times. But you have to give it the chance to happen that many times in order to trust it.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense to any of you guys. It feels like it fell on deaf ears a little bit here. Sorry to my non-trusting friends out there.
I was going
to
say, I think maybe some of us are just wildly untrusting and so we don't understand.
Michael, that seems to be a Christian one. That doesn't resonate with you? Now I feel like Kevin.
I mean, the next question is when are we going to open up to Pastor Rick?
Never.
And come to the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. She'll be parking cars by two Sundays.
Yeah.
Never, ever. I'll have updates for you guys next time as I'm learning about avoiders and vacillators and victims and all of those different styles of love.
And is this going to be your new thing now? Is the self-help books? Should we be expecting this every week?
I don't think.
Some lessons?
I don't think so. I think that I am finally at a place where I admit, like, I need help. I legitimately need help because what I'm doing right now is not working.
You seem fine to me.
I'm okay, but I need help because I'm mad all the time. And, like, why am I so angry? Or because I'm not in my career where I want to be, or in my relationship where I want to be. Like, the things, I'm still chugging along, but I need some help. And so I don't know if it's self-help books, or if it's making new friends that are different, or putting myself out there, or getting drunk more often. Like, I don't know what it is, but right now the lesson of today is, whether it's with your feet or otherwise, try new shit if what you're doing is not working. Because what I'm doing is not fully working, so I'm trying tons of new shit. And some of them are probably going to stick, and some of them probably aren't, because I'm going to do some things that are moronic.
Either way, you're going to keep us posted every week.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that includes drugs, sexual encounters. Only with the limbo man. I'm still not there yet, but toe sucking and all. I'll keep you guys posted. Somebody who I want to keep us posted, though, before we move into a little news, is Bonjour.
Hey, Rox, what's up?
Bonjour, tell me about your parents, who we all got to meet.
Yes! Oh, you did. I was so happy you guys were able to do it. What were your thoughts? How were they?
I was saying this to Bonjour before. I don't know if you guys had the same experience, but it was so funny because when I never used to be like this when I came from Boston, but now that I've been out in LA, I so am. I saw her mom and I leaped on her and gave her a big hug, and her mom hugged me right back. And I was like, oh my God, I love your daughter. And then I turned to her dad, I gave him a big hug, and it was just like, like, you could tell he was so sweet still, but was kind of like, why the fuck is this person hugging me? Like, why is this person hugging me? But they were so nice, and they just seemed so proud of you. Like, they just kept wanting to look at you and talk about you, and I thought they were really cute.
Yeah, they were just, like, so excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so funny, the whole thing about that. It's funny because we were talking about this offline. If someone came up to you and, like, kissed you on both cheeks, you'd be like, oh, that's strange. That's in my space. And yeah. It's just so funny how, you know, Kevin would fully understand if he were here. You know, I feel like I can't talk to you guys about this. He is a resident bilingual.
Yeah, that's true. You would say it in, I could try. Try to say it in French. I'll see if I can translate.
Yeah, no. Well, for another show.
That doesn't make good rear? No? Okay. So what did you do? How was it? You guys, as I said, made it out alive. So that's
Yeah, we
good.
Made it out alive. It was great. It was really great. They hadn't planned to stay with me. They had planned to stay with me one night, the night they arrived, and then from there they would get a hotel, which did not happen. Then they ended up staying with me a full week.
And how did your roommate feel about that?
She, thank God, is so awesome, and she, you know, she's really cool. And she was like, yep, you know, do what you got to do. That your parents, they can stay longer if they want to.
That's wow. Freaking amazing. Yeah. And very kind. Did that kill you and get on your nerves, or are you okay?
it was great. It was awesome. No, it was really good. I get to see my parents, actually. Lauren said this to me and I was like, what? And she is right. I get to see my parents once a year, and this was the second time I was seeing them this year, but that hasn't been the pattern. And so it's good to live. And it's just very strange when you've been living alone for a while, and then your parents, who you grew up with, living with, move back in with you for a little bit. It's very, there's the dynamics are very strange.
Did it mess with your routine? Like, were you not willing to do the things that you're doing usually?
I mean, definitely to a certain extent. And then also there is the pressure of I want them to have a good time. They've spent money to get here. They spent so much time to get here. You know, so there's that added pressure of, you know, I'm at work. I want to do a good job. But then, like, you're always spinning. A lot of our job is to please people and just, you know, always be upbeat and come up with solutions. It was doing that 24/7. You know, so that was, you know, a little tiring, but it overall was great. And
did they feel like you're parents? Were they trying to, like, parent you at all, or did it seem like you had friends in town?
No, that I think that's what was the hardest part. Was it's weird. It's just your parents will always be your parents, at least for our relationship. I just they will always have an opinion on everything. Also, they're French, and they said this a couple of times, and it's true. French cultures, we call it l'esprit critique, which means you have the spirit of criticism.
It means you have the spirit of criticism.
Oh yeah, always. Yeah. For everything.
I knew because I speak. Exactly. Because I'm in this chair.
Spirit of criticism.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know. So what were they upset with you about? Like, what did they criticize you about? Or did they think you're doing okay?
I think they're doing okay. But when my mom said this, she goes, you know, it's a spirit of criticism. I'm like, yes, but mom, I've been living in the world of, oh my God, amazing. Yeah. So we have to find a middle ground.
Yeah. So they weren't just telling you you're amazing?
No.
Well, we think you're amazing.
To be honest, with you that was so we had this lovely event with Megan, right?
Yeah, and Kevin, which launch was.
It was so amazing. I can't wait. We have to talk about
that. We can't even say it was amazing. It was just amazing.
No, it was dope. It was dope.
It was totally dope. And so you went to the launch and they didn't feel it?
After the launch, they were like, it was so funny. So many people came up to us and were like, Juliet's amazing. Juliet's amazing. And they were joking about how Americans always say that people are amazing. And I was like, hey, like, why we got to second guess them?
That's so funny because I feel like an American parent would be like, I know, isn't she? That's so sweet.
Or they would be on the phone to grandma like, everyone's telling us how great Jules is.
In the future, what do we say to them? What should we say? Juliet's a total lame. Oh. No.
Like, she's okay.
They probably would have liked that. Like, Juliet's okay.
She's fine.
Thank you.
I think also as people like go on and on about it, and I think there's a lot of power in words, and I think my parents have complimented you, Roxy, and they've said, but it's always like 2-3 words that are so beautiful. You know what I mean? So I think it's that. When people over talk it, it takes away versus like less words is more.
Well, amazing is one word.
Sorry, you're right.
Amazing. Okay, next time we'll just say it as one word, walk away. Powerful. Bomb drop. Speaking of bombs dropping, let's talk about the news.
Literally, you said that, and I was like, I just checked Twitter, and it was like the 73-year anniversary of the atomic bombs, and I was like, is she transitioning into this?
That would be so
with
weird.
With a history fact?
I meant more of the metaphor. Rhetorical bomb. The God, I didn't talk to you guys before the show about this. Usually I do. Oh no, don't do the horror. Don't do it. Don't do it to me. Go Fleetwood or something. You know how I feel about our news music. You know how I can't hang like Kevin can hang.
I was so confused.
Kevin can hang with it so
should
well.
Should I just make the noises?
Yeah, you just burp and fart and do all of that.
You want some Fleetwood
match? Yeah, something like Fleetwood. We opened with Tom Petty, by the way, because I was just, I don't know, I woke up this morning just missing him. Do you ever, not that I knew him personally, but do any of your idols ever die and you just kind of wake up missing them some days?
No, I haven't been able to relate to that yet because none of my idols have died.
Really?
But I'm kind of worried, like when Lindsay Lohan finally goes or Xtina.
Oh, that would be a big one for me too. Yeah. So this morning I was like, I miss you, Tom. And that's why we started with it. All right, this is perfect for the news. Michael, what do you got for us today?
Well, the news is straight out of Hollywood. We're going to start off talking about the Oscars, and there is change coming to the Oscars. We reported several months ago after the Oscars, it actually had its lowest viewership in several years, only 25 or 26 million people, which doesn't sound like a lot, but considering what they used to get, it's significantly lower, and so they're now making changes to be able to allow more people to watch. And from the past, it's gone like 4 or 5 or 6 hours. They're now going to keep it just to 3 hours. They're going to be filming some segments during commercial break and then just air them live, not air them at the tail end of the show, not live. But then they're also going to be adding a new Oscar. That Oscar is for the most popular movie. And that is really something that people are up in the air about because the Oscars has such prestige. And they're like, oh, is this not like the MTV Awards? Is this like Nickelodeon? Roxy, you're a big movie buff. Thoughts on this popular Oscar?
So it's an outstanding achievement in popular film is the award, which is so concerning. It's unbelievable. Mostly because what the actual fuck does that mean? Are we talking about what makes something eligible for this? Did you have to make a certain amount of money? Do you have to have a certain amount of celebrity in it? Did you have to have a certain percentage on Rotten Tomatoes? Do you have to be a superhero film? Does it have to be a comedy? Like what does it even mean?
They haven't explained that yet. They haven't released what the criteria will be. And I think that actually says more about this than if we would know, because this is just kind of a knee-jerk reaction. This is a publicity stunt. This is something they know people are going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I doubt they even have the details worked out yet. But either way, we know that adding a popular category or whatever the hell it is not going to help the actual issues that the Oscars have, as like Oscars so white and all that kind of stuff. None of this is going to help inclusivity or diversity or any of the real issues besides viewership, which if anyone's watching, over 25 million people are watching anything these days, you are winning. Let it go.
It's so funny because, yes, to everything you just said, and I feel like a lot of people are having the similar sentiment, and it's always so funny to me when we all seem to come to a similar conclusion, and it's like, didn't they have this conversation in the room that made this decision? Like, how is it possible that everybody I'm speaking to feels this way, but nobody in the room said this? Maybe they have some brilliant plan and some guidelines that will blow us away. And I'm all for more artists being recognized. I think that's great, especially somebody who comes from the superhero world where superhero movies simply don't get nominated other than for sometimes adapted screenplay or something.
Yeah, makeup.
Yeah, makeup. Some things you do, but for best picture, it just doesn't really happen. So for movies like Black Panther that they want to honor that are quote unquote popular, but they don't deem to be the best movie, but have a ridiculous cast of diversity and talent and the script. And they're like, what do we do with this? Well, it's not the same as a great movie, which, by the way, why not? If it's a great movie, it's a great movie.
Right. If it resonates with an audience,
then if it's popular, maybe it's a great movie. Has that ever come up? No? Because then also, which movies that are nominated for Best Picture that do well in the box office aren't nominated for being popular?
That's
and can
be a
you
problem.
Get nominated for both? Mm-hmm. Because if you can get nominated for both, again, what the actual fuck? Does any of this really matter? No, it's the Oscars. But I'm just confused on why? Why did you think this was the solution? If you wanted to make it a category, just make it a superhero and comedy category. If you wanted another category.
I think if I'm looking at this, the 26.5 million people who tuned in this last year, you're getting the people who are very serious about movies and are like, wow, the certain angles that they used in this one or the certain writing was so good, I want to see who wins. I think by adding this popular category, they're gearing it towards just general people who like movies, which is a lot more than 26 million.
And younger
Everybody
people.
Everybody goes to the movies.
And
yeah,
less
younger
white,
people.
Old
Exactly.
Dudes.
So I think they're looking at this and saying, oh, maybe if we make it less serious, then it will attract more millennials.
But what,
not that millennials don't like serious stuff.
What does it mean, though? That's the problem. It's not that they're trying to add a category. I'm not upset about that. What is it?
I think, yeah, like he's saying, it's just old white men coming up with a fun category to make the kids happy.
Yeah. I'd actually be very
like,
interested.
What's popular these days?
Exactly.
I'd be very interested, obviously, Kevin, as like a Hollywood mind and like his creativity of hearing what he thinks about this.
I actually don't think he would be mad about it.
Really?
I think that he would think it's a good idea for the Oscars to do something to try to get more viewership and to include more artists. But I can't imagine him thinking that this name of it, without any kind of explanation right now, is a smart move. Because either wait to announce the category until you know what it is and announce what it is with it, or call it something else. But this just doesn't, like, a lot of award shows have a musical and comedy category. Have it be its own category that is something that we comprehend. This right now, popular, I don't know what that means, except for when I was in high school and who sat at what table. What does it mean?
It means, I mean, it's getting everybody, we're talking about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's creating buzz.
Honestly, I think it is a superhero one. I think with the last 5 years that we've seen, and even the next 5 years, if you look at the Marvel calendar, I think they're looking at it and saying, man, everyone loves these superhero movies. How do we get everyone who loves superhero movies to also love the Oscars?
But it will be so wild if it's just a superhero category, because then people are going to start tailor-making movies for this category.
Well, I think people are tailor-making movies for the money in the audience, and now the Oscars is trying to garner that same audience back to their show.
Either way, this just takes all the fun out of it. Like, this is just like how we're not supposed to ask actors who they're wearing on the red carpet anymore. It's like, and we're supposed to vote for all the right movies, and all the movies have to get an award, and it's just like, can't it just be cool and fun?
I didn't know we were supposed to ask them that anymore. How come we can't ask them?
No, it's because it makes it about
somebody
the
else.
Way that they look instead of the accomplishments.
Mm-hmm. Well, but also where and you
no
get
one,
your dress
no
down.
One asks a man who they're wearing.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, they do.
Because men wear suits. Okay. Like, what do you... I'm wearing a black suit.
And just to be clear, I don't support any of that. I want to know who everyone is wearing all the time.
I like it.
Red carpet.
There,
yeah.
There are currently, by the way, as we close, 24 Oscar awards out right now. So this would be number 25. Hmm.
I do like the idea of having a rounded number.
And I like the idea of being a slightly shorter show and some of it just going digitally. Although, I also hate that because... people wait their whole lives for this moment, and the people that already are getting recognized on the street are the actors and are the people that are winning Best Director, and those are going to be the categories that don't get cut from on screen.
They're still going to be airing. They're just going to not have like the build up and not be able to see it. You're still going to get, I think, from what I'm interpreting, all the awards given out and the speeches, but like the time in between some awards the build
up. No,
it can't be live. Then you're
that's
saying you're
not what I. That's not what I saw. That some of the awards are going to get cut from the live show.
Yes.
From the live televised show.
It says that these categories will not be removed from the telecast. Instead, the winning moments will then be edited and aired later. So they're still showing just the winning moments, just not everything in between.
The winning moments will be edited and shared later.
In the broadcast. Later in the broadcast.
That is not how I've been interpreting this. I thought they were cutting...
That's from the Hollywood Reporter that I pulled.
THR, WTF.
I don't know, because that's not what A, people are saying right now, or B, how I... Well, you guys at home, let us know.
Yeah. Maybe they also put out incorrect information to different outlets to, again, keep us talking.
Or maybe they phrased it complicatedly, so we're not interpreting it accurately.
They're confused, so we're confused, because they don't know what they're doing.
And yeah. There's still 6 months or 5 months until the Oscars, so again,
because everybody online is guessing right now which categories are going to get cut from airing in the televised. So if that's not what they're doing, they should probably say that, because... What? I'm so pissed about
well,
it.
Let's move
Can
on.
You please say what
let's
the actual fuck?
What the actual fuck?
Let's move on to a story that actually does have an impact on the Oscars, because it is a superhero movie, and there's so much controversy going on right now surrounding Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and certainly this is one of Marvel's biggest movies. It's on slate to come out in 2020, but there's a lot of drama in the past couple weeks. James Gunn, who was the director and writer of the film, some tweets came out from him several years ago that were not in great taste, and Disney fired him. Now, the main actors of the show, Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, have all come out and said that they support him, they want him on that those tweets were several years ago, and that they don't represent the person that they know and they want on that project. And Dave Bautista even went so far as to saying that he would quit and leave from his role as one of the main superheroes if they did not use James Gunn's script or if they brought him back. Now, news of today is that they will be using James Gunn's script, but he will not be coming back as director. Two questions. Are we moving past the guilty by tweet several years ago? And do you think that Disney is handling this right by not bringing him back? And what power do the actors have?
Well, I didn't understand your first question. Are we moving this past the guilty by tweet?
So this is the first incident where you have several main actors coming and saying, yeah, those tweets were several years ago. Like, who cares? Let's not crucify him for that. And I think in the past several weeks, we've crucified a lot of people for their tweets.
Not the guy who won The Bachelorette. Got zero consequences.
Well, yeah, but that's now. That's coming out right now. So I'm saying, are we moving past that?
Okay, so I think this is a different situation for a couple of different reasons. Number one, because they were tweets, not actions. Number two, because they were a decade ago, not as of today. Number three, because Disney was aware of these tweets before hiring him to do Guardians. When they did vet him, it came up in the process, and they hired him anyway. And the only reason that they are now firing him is because of them becoming public from somebody who had an ulterior motive. So for all of those reasons, I think this is a different situation. But I think Disney, regardless of what their end outcome was going to be, which I don't think they should have fired him, but taking that off of the table for a second, this spur of the moment decision making that we're doing as a society is so effing dangerous. Like, how do you, in one day's time, fire somebody who tweeted something 10 years ago?
that you knew about.
That you already were aware of. It's baffling. And so I would be so impressed, which they would never do, if Disney said, we were wrong. We were wrong, and we shouldn't have done this. But it's never going to happen. They've put themselves in such a bind because of how they've handled previous situations. And they're willing to let him go. Now, Warner Brothers is already rumored to be in talks with him for their future projects. Warner Brothers obviously housing DC Entertainment. So
that's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. And joke's going to be on Disney on this one. I was talking about this with a critic friend of mine the other day named Dan Merle, who pointed out to me, and I think it's very accurate, which filmmaker in their right fucking mind right now would want to work for Disney? Disney treats their filmmakers like crap. They've already shown us, hence Star Wars, that they will fire you off a project if they don't like what you're doing, with only a couple weeks left on it. They've shown that if they find something from your past that they already have hired you and cleared you for, they still might fire you, even if it was forever ago. And they don't treat people particularly well.
But in Hollywood, there's always somebody new and hungry coming up who's willing to do anything.
100%. And still Disney, and still got a great name. It's just, it's sad that this is how they're doing right now, especially because they're becoming bigger than ever with their merger and with their app that they're launching and everything going on. You have to remember to treat people well, and I'm so glad that these actors are standing up for James Gunn.
Yeah, I was really surprised after the actors jumped in, because I think in this situation, because they are so big name and in terms of promotion
and in contract,
huge. Yeah, like you want to appease them because their Insta stories, their tweet, all that stuff, like their excitement, you can tell that, and you want them to be on board. Also, like, why are you still, if you're totally against him, why are you still using his script? Like, what's the difference between using his script and having him direct?
Because he's great. And that's why. Like,
yeah. But that, like, why? Then I'm saying from Disney's point of view, like, why take him off directing?
I think they probably already paid him.
And it could have been an attempt to appease the actors who were speaking out, which I don't think it really is that surprising that they would band together and stand up for their buddy. And especially someone like Batista, who is from an industry that is all about kind of loyalty and humility and what's best for business is what people say in wrestling. And what would be best for business for Disney would be to keep this guy on, make the movie, make it good, make the money. And the fact that they're not going to do that, of course, Batista's like, that's not how I roll.
I think, though, I still want to give Batista credit and the rest of them credit, because a lot of people are saying it's not like any of them need this movie, so it's easy for them to protest, but it's still a massive movie and a huge paycheck, and they still have friends and families and people to support, and saying if you guys don't bring him back on, I might not return is a huge thing to do.
Huge.
So yeah, and I think that does speak miles to his
in a case like that
background.
You know a lot more about this than I do. Would that be a thing where someone like a Chris Pratt has to kind of start it and be like, no guys, I'm the big one, and I'm gonna say it's cool, we can all sign on?
It depends what Disney actually wants to do here, because they're all in contract. So if they do not show up and they don't do this movie, they're in breach of contract. Now, whether Disney wants to make a massive scene about that, I'm not sure. But they are all legally, they have to do this film.
That's true.
So if Batista doesn't want to do it, it's not just like, I don't want to do it, I'm not going to. It's like lawyers and lawyers on lawyers on how much money he's going to have to pay or what the penalty to that is.
Yeah, and then he came out like a day later and said, I mean, I'll do what I'm contractually obligated to do, but like no more.
Yeah.
Because I think he realized that there's a certain bluff you can pull.
Which means that...
Oh no, his lawyers called him and said, dude, you have to make another statement, sorry.
But people can do a lot of things. You can be a nightmare on set, which I'm not recommending, but like, you know, you can show up wasted, you can do all different stuff. At the end of the day, nobody wants somebody on a project who doesn't want to be there. Because can be an even bigger issue.
Mm-hmm. And that can be a disease to the whole set.
Yeah.
Well, from one series of popular movies to another, this news and picture really broke the internet this week. Everyone,
this is actually gutting.
Knows.
Anybody who's on iTunes might want to switch over to YouTube or pull over and just Google this for a second.
Crazy. Everyone watched Mighty Ducks growing up. And it was just such a, I think it was 3 or 4 films. Very popular. One of the lovable characters in there, Goldberg, was arrested this week on the left, 39-year-old which he looks about 60.
Yeah.
Sean Weiss, who played Goldberg, you can see him there on the right and on the left, was arrested this week for public intoxication, and he has just kind of had a bad spiral the past couple of years. So a friend of his actually spoke out and said that his dad died 3 years ago, said that since then he's been arrested for possession of meth, sentenced to 150 days in jail for stealing, and then was obviously public intox. And it's just crazy. They said that he was acting up until 3 years ago, but this, what was your first thought when you see his mugshot?
It's jarring.
Yeah. And honestly, I've heard a lot. I saw on Twitter after you told me about the story, Michael, a lot of jokes about him. This is crushing. This is not funny. It's so sad and sickening. And if you don't feel anything in your heart because of this, and you don't feel for somebody, then you got to read How We Love. Then you've got to look at yourself a little bit, because this is a member of society. He's a human being, and he looks like who's
brought us all a lot of joy.
Yeah, yeah. And God, addiction is a scary, crazy thing, and he looks like 60 is generous. I would say closer to 75 in this. He looks so old, like he doesn't have long left for this world. And obviously I'm somebody who can relate to losing a parent, and you usually tend to go one way or another with that. And I hope he gets the help that he needs. Something tells me it probably won't happen, but
maybe with this being so public, at least maybe the people around him or his friends or even someone from back in the day who still cares about him and is in the position to do something for him, maybe they will.
It's also going to depend on how many people he does still have around him and how many people he's pissed off to this point, because you don't get to this point without taking a couple dumps on mm-hmm. the people that are close to you. Like, you can only imagine somebody who's using and stealing and probably broke and desperate and looking like that.
He needs his teammates back. We need to form the Flying V.
Seriously.
Get around him.
I wonder if we hear more about this in the weeks to come. Quack, quack. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, God. I can't even look at it anymore. It's sad. No, it's too disturbing. Michael.
We need Charlie Conway. Charlie Conway knew how to solve every single problem in that movie. Well, let's go back to a very popular actor who unfortunately is now doing his final project. And this guy is a legend. Robert Redford has announced that he will no longer be doing any more projects. He is 81, has won several Oscars. He started way back and became famous in like 1967 with Barefoot in the Park with Jane Fonda. Many people know him from The Watergate, All the President's Men, which is in 76. He also has had many directorial films that have done incredibly well. I mean, he's a legend. Do you think a lot of people our age realize his works? Or do you think he's like an older name that people are like, oh, yeah, one time I heard about him?
I think that most people our age would recognize the name, but wouldn't be able to tell you two films that he did. Maybe one. And that's a shame, because he's very, very talented. It's kind of just what happens, though. And I know a lot of people are sad about this, that he's retiring. He's 81. He wants to retire. Let the man do what he wants. It's actually what happened, if I recall correctly, with Paul Newman, when he felt like he was maybe even 70. I don't remember exactly how old, but he was sick, I think. And he was like, I don't feel like my ability to perform is the same. I'm older and I don't think my work is going to be as good. So whether it's because he doesn't have the time, or he does and doesn't want to do it anymore, has different interests, wants to be with people he loves, or if it's because he's nervous about his performances, let him leave the legacy he wants to leave and have him do it on his own terms, the way that he wants. Makes sense to me.
There was a singer, I wish I could tell you who it is. There's a singer who came out recently in the last week or so and said that at some point singers should stop touring, and he wishes that Elton John would do that.
It's hard because it's how they make their money as well, and it's their fans still want to see them. But when you get older, especially as a singer, obviously you sound different because
right.
your vocal cords are different, and that is just the way it is. I don't think anybody should stop. I think if people want to, then they should. But who the fuck are we? Like,
and I think in saying that, that a lot of them are not maybe financially responsible or stable, and I think that is a huge thing to do with it. It's like NFL athletes and every other athlete would not stop playing because they're used to that multi-million dollar a year lifestyle. I think someone like Robert Redford has probably saved a lot. Some musicians are like, man, I'm used to spending $1 million a year if I don't do that. And I had even heard, like, with, I think, the Beach Boys, like, their wives spend a lot of money, which keeps them on the road because they have to bring it in.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Elton John's probably doing okay.
Right.
Financially. But other people, yeah, I could see that. Anybody else a big Robert Redford fan? I feel like Kevin would have a lot to say if he was here about that one. Kevin, you'll have to come back to us and tell us all of your Robert Redford stories.
Elton John, a year or two ago, was making $500,000 a year at his Vegas shows.
Jeez.
I mean,
$500K a show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's the
not small, 500K yeah. a year, 500K a show.
So you think he's got like 62,000 saved up?
Yeah, 63, 64.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'm reading in 2016 he pulled in $42 million. In 2017, $60 million.
And then, Michael, do we have anything else, or do we want to ask Christy about the Real Housewives situation?
Oh,
the
Real Housewives. Denise Richards.
This is right up our
joining the cast of Real Housewives. And as our resident fan, Christy reports, how excited are you?
There, I just let that hang for a sec. Well, so a real story is here. She's reportedly been trying to get on this show for a long time, for many years.
What does that mean, she's been trying to? Why would she not be able to?
Because they probably didn't need her. And also, if you'll recall, she had a reality show on E! For a season. It was many years ago. But she is not incredibly likable in a reality TV setting.
Isn't that gold, though?
Yes, but not if you just don't even want to watch. Not if there isn't something to latch onto. I mean, someone like her, she's not going to go full bore Brandy Glanville either. She's not going to call people names. She's not going to do the hot mess stuff that you love to hate. She's going to have to be lovable, and I think that's going to be very difficult for her. But by all reports, we talked about this last week, that Charlie Sheen is running out of money. So perhaps this was kind of a money move. Maybe she really made a ploy this year. The show needed some spicing up, and maybe they thought a celebrity casting would do that. I think this is going to fall very, very flat.
Because you just think it won't be as entertaining as what they're hoping?
Exactly. And is she going to be able to have a genuine relationship with the other women on the show? A lot of times when we put a celebrity on reality TV, they're more guarded, or they have a fake reality TV life. I mean, it's not going to be good, guys. I'm sorry. It's not going to be good. And I love me some RHOBH.
I've never watched it before, and I guess I won't be watching it now. You know it's time to go when Bonjour starts yawning in the booth. So let's get us out of here. Christy, you take us out of here. I don't want to do it tonight.
This has been so fun, you guys. No, don't tell me. I'll keep talking for a while. Okay, everyone, do your best to...
We're not ending it.
You gotta tell everybody. So that's when you say, you can find me at Christy Report.
Oh, okay, right. There we go. I mean, I was... Okay.
You can
find me on Christy Reports and apparently on wikifeed.com.
And you're going to have to keep doing that because Christy is going on hiatus from this for a little bit.
That's right. Yes, I'm going to do some other, though, really fun stuff that you guys will be able to consume as well. And I'll let you know all about that very soon because you guys are my faves and you're the ones that I want to share it with first. So when I can tell you what's going down instead, I will. Until then, I'm not going to be a stranger. Yeah. You're not going to get rid of me that quick.
Oh, I don't want to. Aww. And now that you said you want more friends too, I'm bringing you out with the Brits. We're doing the whole thing. All right, I'll take us out of here at the only MC. Hopefully next week he'll still be virginized.
Fingers crossed.
I do have plans this weekend, but not to lose my virginity.
Huh.
I mean, does anyone ever really plan? Actually, I think teenagers do.
Yeah, I planned really hard to do that. Just kidding. I got drunk. Bonjour, Juliette is where you can find our bonjour. And also, if you guys want to be all special and stuff, on the 12th is Bonjour's birthday, so tweet at her and say happy birthday and stuff. You guys can find me at Roxy Stroy. You can find us at The Tomorrow Show, thetomorrowshow.com. Don't forget to go over to iTunes. Write a comment. Give us that 5-star. We love seeing that. Or if you're on YouTube, leave us that thumbs up. You could also write a comment there. And don't forget to follow our captain at Undergaro. Christy, now's your time. Until next week,
make it a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.